Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Good morning. On this third Sunday after the Epiphany, we read the words from the 12th chapter of the epistle of Blessed Paul the Apostle to the Romans, beginning at the 16th verse. In this scriptural reading, we find words that speak to the heart of man, exhorting him to carry himself in a manner worthy of his title as one who ascends to the authority of Christ Jesus. We find words that defy the commonly perceived way of doing things, the way of the world in which man has to be his own person, to create his own way of life, to pursue the things that bring him happiness, if he is to achieve any sort of fulfillment in his life. Where the world encourages man to fend for himself and make a name for himself, the words of St. Paul urge the opposite. They bring to us a new and fresh way of looking at our lives, not just as our own to do as we please and pursue the things we think we desire, but rather to look to God solely, first and foremost, firmly, as the author of our life and the enactor of justice. The early church father, John Chrysostom, reads the very first verse in the 16th verse, which says, be not wise in your own conceits. And he explains that it means, do not think you can do for yourselves. He quotes the book of the prophet Isaiah in the 5th chapter, which says, woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Now that's a good sight though. But he says, woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. The eloquent saint goes on to say that man oftentimes is elated and consumed by pride at the idea that he can do all things that he needs and wants to do by himself without the need for any other. Essentially, he can be his own person for himself. However, he contends, that is not the plan of God. For God has created man to be in communion with one another, to need one another, to rely on one another, because ultimately that reflects our own reliance on our Savior and Creator. If a man thinks that he doesn't need God and communion with each other and thinks he can rely on himself, then he is the most foolish and feeble of men. For a man of this nature deprives himself of all support. In any mistake he may make, he will neither have the benefit of correction nor forgiveness. Instead, his recklessness will provoke God, leading him into deeper and numerous errors. We are not somehow less smart or intelligent or less powerful if we have need for fellow man. For we are sharpened and made stronger through our need for each other. I mean, just look at the early church. They came together because of the teachings of Jesus Christ and because they were together, family, brother to brother. There was no orphan or widow who needed anything, for they knew all the problems and they'd take care of them. We are wise not because we can accomplish things for ourselves, but because we have the benefit of living life together under the authorship and leadership of Jesus Christ. God's will is that his children become a family, where the joys of one become the joys of all, where the pain of one is gladly shared by all. The Christian experience isn't one person against the world, but one great family living together under the mandate and care of one another because of Jesus Christ. Now, because we are supposed to be together, not secluded, not isolated, we're now exhorted not to be wise, again, in our own way, but corporately encouraging each other as living like Christ. We encounter in the very next verse, where the apostle says in this epistle, recompense to no man evil for evil. provide all things honest in the sight of men. In my own mother tongue, it says, there's a saying that there are no two cows or two bulls that can live together without locking horns. So if we're to be together in community, in communion, evidently one is bound to do evil to another. But the good apostle says, recompense to no man evil for evil. In these simple words lies a profound truth that speaks to the core of our Christian walk and faith. It's a call to resist the tempting allure of retaliation when wronged. When the arrows of injustice pierce our hearts, the natural inclination might be to shoot back. The physicist says, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction force. But the apostle says, no. If you've been wronged, don't bring an equal and opposite reaction force. In this very verse, we are urged not to do so, but to do the opposite. Consider for a moment the revolutionary power of choosing a different path. A path where evil isn't met with evil, but perhaps with forgiveness. Where injury isn't met with vengeance, but perhaps by giving it up to the Lord to do as he wills. It's a challenging road, truly, one that requires the help and power of the Holy Spirit. To get personal for a bit, I spoke to my mother, who grew up as an orphan in a refugee camp in Uganda, and whose parents had died as a result of very evil people. I asked her once if she harbors any hate in her heart for the people that caused her and her siblings very much pain. And she said, no. Now, as a Christian, I knew this would be her answer. But I wanted to pry, to see whether this was just the right Christian answer of if she truly believed it. So I went deeper. I asked her, do you truly mean that, Mom? Have you truly forgiven those people that caused your parents to die and made you grow up in very, very bad conditions in a refugee camp? And she told me, son, I truly did forgive. I never truly would have lived if I hadn't forgiven. For her, not recompensing evil for evil meant handing over all her pain and deep grief to God and allowing him to enact justice and to heal her and restore her to life. And by the grace of God, he did indeed restore her to life. She went on to be a nurse for over 40 years until she recently retired. So these things that the Apostle Paul is telling us isn't, you know, some esoteric thing, something that's up there that we can't really achieve, but we should try to do it. They're real life experiences of people who have given up all their pain from those that they've received from evil people and handed it over to God. You know, just like we come to the altar to partake of Holy Communion, they bring their burdens and lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ. St. Paul asks us to give our grievances and pain to God and to allow him to do as he wills. That's the exhortation we have this very day. Because after all, Christians are never to take vengeance into their own hands. Rather, we must allow the wrath of God to follow its own course. Christians are not called upon to help God carry out his divine retribution. God has promised to pay back trouble to those who bring trouble, as St. Paul writes in his epistle, second epistle to the Thessalonians. Rather than to take revenge, hear this, rather than to take revenge, we are supposed to feed our enemy that's hungry. We are to bring drink to them if they're thirsty. Talk about being countercultural. Talk about being Christ-centered. In this, by doing this to this vile, evil person that has brought pain upon you, by giving them drink and food, by doing this, it's like heaping coals of fire upon their head. It's awful for them. Our most powerful weapon against evil is good. We find that in the very life and death of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. To respond to evil with evil is not to overcome it, but to add to it. I come from Rwanda. I've seen what hate, does. If someone hates you, you just pile more hate and pile more hate. Hate, where does it end? But the word of Jesus Christ comes to relieve us of this pain, to relieve us of this hurt, and bring us to Jesus Christ, for he restores. And you know, it talks about forgiveness, but St. Paul, again, in this same pericope, he says, wrath is for God. Give it up to God. Let him do as he wills. But the act of bringing it to Jesus Christ, the act of bringing it to the altar, is so relieving and life-giving. Christians are called to live victoriously in a hostile world by continuing to live as Jesus himself lived. Right will inevitably prevail against wrong. I mean, if you've read the Holy Scriptures, we know this. We know that he will prevail in the end. God is on the throne and forever will be on the throne. And although not all is right in this world, and although not all is right in our relationships, he is the one that will avenge the wicked and reward the righteous. So my dear brothers and sisters, may these words ring true in our lives. May we not recompense evil for evil, but strive as much as we can to live peaceably with all men. May we focus our lives on the cross of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who lived as an example of this very reality. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.